Hey, y'all, I'm Elliot Hall, and welcome to another episode of The Journey to St. Andrews, where I recap my unedited and pretty much unfiltered adventures in getting ready to go play golf in St. Andrews, and also just how I've been improving my game, what I've been working on, and what courses I've played and other golf-related things going on. So this is a pretty exciting episode that I'm glad that we're getting into. It's the episode right after the Masters. And last week was, well, let me just start by saying that growing up in Georgia and playing golf, the Masters is pretty huge. And I know it is for anybody who plays golf, and people fly in from all over the world to come see the Masters. It's, you know, going on almost a century's worth of history with the course. And of course, you know, the legacy since the tournament's been going on and since it's become a major. So I am aware of all of that, of course. But in Georgia, when you can drive a couple hours and get to Augusta and be there and feel it and know that it's going on in your state, in your home area, it's a pretty unique feeling. It's a pretty exciting week. It's almost like a holiday. Like me and my brother joke that, you know, the Friday before Masters, it just doesn't feel, it feels like a Labor Day or a Memorial because you're just so excited and you're probably already taking off work so you can, you know, be involved in the festivities and what have you. So really, really love that this time of year. Also, it's the end of winter. By April, by the first weekend or second weekend of April, it's pretty warm in Georgia, so it's starting to feel like summer. It's just a really good time. Of course, we have to deal with the pollen, which is on a whole nother level out here, where you just see sheets of pollen blowing in the wind. And while we were out playing golf last week, definitely saw that. So if my voice seems a little off, that is the reason. But that's all that being said, is it was an amazing week with family and playing golf, watching golf, being in Augusta and drinking Calamity Jane, our golf beer, partnered with the PGA sections in Georgia, the Carolinas, and North Florida. It's just a very exciting week. So with all that being said, let's dive right in. Last week, I got to play three rounds of golf. I also got to go to Augusta, and me and my wife and our kid, we got to go to the lake with pretty much the rest of our family. Some were out of town traveling or away in college, but outside of that, we got to have pretty much everyone back down at my parents' house, which is, it's on Lake Oconee. So if you're not familiar with the geography of Georgia, you have Atlanta, which is our hub, capital, and then you have Augusta, which is about 2.5-3 hours east of Atlanta, down one shot interstate, I-20, and Lake Oconee is pretty much right in the center. So you can get to Augusta in under an hour and a half, or you can get to Atlanta in under an hour. And that's where my parents built their retirement home. That's where they live now. And it's in a golf community called Reynolds. It's Reynolds at Lake Oconee. It's some of the places I played when I was back in high school as we were building the house. And we actually, that's a whole neat side thing, but we literally built that house. I don't mean like we picked out the shutters and, you know, somebody installed them. When me and my sister and were growing up and my brother, we with our parents, we built that house over 2 years, spending about 3 weekends a month living in tents in the yard, building the house by hand. Grew up in construction, so it was just kind of standard. So it's a really special place. And even more so now that I get to take my kid there and celebrate with family these really fun weekends. And Masters in my family has, like I mentioned, has become a holiday. So we played three rounds of golf out at Reynolds, and we're not too far from Augusta. And the first round, I did very well. I was on, I was really focused. It was kind of a neat full circle moment, honestly, because we played Great Waters, which is a Jack Nicklaus signature course. He designed it, and it's a beautiful course along a lot of water. Challenging course as well. The greens were fast that day. It was a beautiful day. Started off, you know, 60s, got as warm as mid-70s, and just really a great time to be out on the golf course that day. So it was a great day to be out. A lot of fun. I got to play with my dad, my brother, and their banker, I guess mine as well, for the business. His name's Chuck. Very good golfer. Always has a good story. I've never played with him before. This was the first time. So anyways, we got out there. like I said, I played well. Great Waters is a tougher course out at Reynolds. And if you remember from an earlier podcast, it was actually the last course I played in 2023. And it was one of the worst scores I had since I started documenting my scores in the summer, late spring of 2023, very religiously. And I can go back and track it down. I shot a 110 the last day, and I just started breaking into the 90s regularly. Going out there shooting a 110 was awful. I mean, just soul-crushing awful after all that hard work. You're trying to round out the year, and we were moving and stuff like that. It was just a busy time, and so that did not feel too good at all. But it's okay. Fast forward a few months later, and I've been keeping up with my game and been improving, and I shot a 97. So I think a 13-point or stroke swing is pretty good in 3 months for the same course. And like I've said in the past, but just to reiterate, like, I'm pretty strict on following the rules. I know I am not a PGA professional. We definitely take a couple of liberties, but nothing egregious. We're not fluffing the ball up at all. We don't do any of that. You're putting out unless you're under a putter length, more likely, you know, with inside the handle of the putter. And anyways, so following out of bound rules, you know, you don't get a gimme drop or anything like that. You take your penalty stroke out of the water and everything like that. And hey, some people listen to this going, obviously. But the more and more I play golf, more and more people I'm playing with who are 14, 12, 10 handicappers on paper, then I kind of see them taking some liberties. Look, I'm out to have a good time to play golf. Everyone's playing their own game, me too. But it's interesting to see now that I am getting better at golf and playing with more people, how some people take a much more laid back approach to some of the rules when you get in a hairy scenario or sticky situation. But that's when you really want to see what you can do. And I think that's why the penalties and strokes are there. So that way you're just a more alert player and you go, I can't do that. That might cost me at least a stroke or two strokes. All that being said, It was a great day to be out there playing. Like I mentioned, it was beautiful, beautiful weather and just good company. It was Wednesday before the Masters, or it was the Wednesday of Masters week. So we were already starting to get all the buzz from Augusta and people showing up. And that's the neat thing too, since you're so close to it, you know, you're hearing stuff from the other people who are going or been going. My dad went to the Masters or Berkman's on Monday. And so he got to, you know, see some people and see some people, you know, out there doing their thing and other people going. And it's just a lot of this really unique buzz behind this global event that you know, because you're playing golf, feel like you're connected to and you're close by. And I didn't get to go this year to the Masters, but I've been in the past. It is a tradition like no other. All the cliches hold up. You leave your phone in the car, or they make you put it in a locker. I think that's a pretty unique thing and very special to what the Masters is trying to accomplish out there. The course, it's immaculate. The drinks and the food are, you know, sometimes you go to these tournaments and, you know, $14 a beer and, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers are ridiculously priced and that, you know, they got to make money. No fault to them, but the Masters, because they've created such a unique place and such a tradition there, the beers and food that you can get is very well priced, and it's a great day, and everything is pristine. We've been there when there's been, you know, storms and things like that, and within an hour or two, the drainage systems they have, the courses look great. Everyone's polite, and everyone knows they're in a special place, which is a very unique thing about Augusta, because when you get there, you know this is something special. Everyone else there knows this is a special thing, and a lot of people there aren't golfers. You know, there are some people there to say they were there, but then there's other people who are there that know that this is a place that is like any other. We have our insurance guy, his name's Barry. He's a great guy. He's been volunteering at the Masters. I think this is his 19th year. I think next year will be 20 years. And after that, he actually gets tickets for life. It's either 20 or 25. I can't remember, but it's just such a special place where that's what you're doing. That's what you're focused on. And the idea behind not having the phone, it removes you from everything else. You're not distracted by whatever's going on. You are only there focused on the tournament, who's playing, and who you went there with. So anyway, it's been fortunate to get to go to the Masters several times now, but didn't go this year. Still did go to Augusta, though, because, like mentioned, our brewery, Firemaker Brewing, has a beer called Calamity Jane, named after Bobby Jones' putter that he won the Grand Slam with back in 1930. And, of course, Bobby Jones started Augusta, Augusta National. So, really awesome time of year to be out at a place I've been going since childhood. And now I'm out there selling the PGA beer in Georgia at these bars and restaurants in Augusta. So you're talking to people who went into the tournament that day or going tomorrow. You're seeing people who are going for the first time, or they're veterans and they've been there a bunch, and they're drinking our beer and they're talking about how good it is. And then we're watching golf on TV and the pre-round stuff. And it's just really cool. It's really cool. And, you know, I'm there with people that I know and that I enjoy their company and like, you know, employees and friends. And it's really cool. So if you ever have the chance to go to Augusta, go to the Masters, move plans, save the money, whatever it is, if you get to go, if somebody invites you, you need to go. Figure it out. You won't regret it. And it will be something that you cherish and talk about. It's a talking point for the rest of your life with other people who have been or who want to go. And when you are watching it at home for years to come, you will know, oh yeah, I have been there. Now that's 16, Amen Corner. It gives a whole new perspective on the game and that match when you have been there. So also, tip, you can bring a disposable camera, because like I'm saying, you can't bring your phones in. So a lot of people show up and they're like, crap, I can't get any pictures. You can bring like an old school disposable camera, disposable camera with the windy, you know, thing, and you charge the flash and stuff like that. You can bring one of those in. So make sure you have one, take it with you. It's worth it, especially if it's your first time going. Get some pictures. It's so crazy because I have pictures now from a couple of visits, and you look at them, you're like, when did we go? In 1998? But really, it was like 2018, because you have to use that 35mm film camera from the disposable. So there's a tip there. Also, you don't need to eat before you go, because like I said, they've got great concessions everywhere. They keep you moving. They're not long lines, and the food is reasonably priced and delicious. And you have to get a pimento cheese sandwich. Even if you've never had one, you don't like it, whatever, try one, get it. They are a Signatures Masters staple dish. So, all right. So we talked about me playing at Great Waters. We talked about the Masters. One last thing on the Masters. I was in a bunch of different pools, and we have our golf fantasy league that we do, but I was shooting for Rory. I want Rory to get his Grand Slam. A lot of people out there do. That's nothing, you know, unique, but I really want to see him do that. He's only a couple years younger than me, I think, and I remember seeing him getting started years and years ago, and him going on his 10th time this year to you know, close out that Grand Slam, career Grand Slam. Just like Bobby Jones. Well, Bobby Jones he did it in a year, but the career Grand Slam, like the Tiger has, and was shooting for Rory. You could kind of tell after the first couple of days, he wasn't going to do it. Scotty ended up winning the Masters. Spoiler alert. If you don't know by now, though, that's your fault, or you don't care, but he ended up winning and made it look easy too. Made it look real easy. Aside from, you know, a double bogey on Saturday, then followed by a immediate eagle. Besides those three holes, back to back to back, he did his thing. That's why he's number one. But also, a lot of other golfers out there playing great golf. It's I don't know. It's just very special. So, anyways, back to my golf, which is on another level, lower level. We went and played the Preserve at Reynolds on Friday. And this time we played me, my dad, my brother, and then my brother-in-law, Ryan. He came out and played. He brought, of course, my sister came down with him and their kids for the weekend. So we played the Preserve, and I shot a 99. Now, the Preserve is it is the oldest course out at Reynolds. And there's 7 going on 8 courses out there. But the Preserve is one of the first full golf courses I ever played outside of like a par 3 or an executive. It it's the one I've been playing with my dad and brother the longest in over the course of my life. It's a great course. It's nostalgic. It's, I think, old school pines and rolling fairways. A lot of them kind of bowl a little bit into the center too, so you can get some, you know, some forgiving drives, but still challenging. There are definitely some holes on there that make you step up. I was hoping to shoot, you know, mid-90s again, like at Great Waters, but I just broke 100 with 99 or 98. I can't remember because driving down the road now, but I made some errors, mainly with putting. I've been working on putting a lot, as y'all have heard in the podcast, and I'm getting down to pretty consistent two putts, or not back-to-back-to-back-to-back three putts, but I did actually have several three putts across the entire round that really threw off any chance of getting into the mid-90s. So that being said, it was still a good day. And after that, we went back to my parents' house. And we all hung out there and grilled out, hung out with my kids or my kid and then my brother-in-law and sister's kids. The grandkids is what we call them kind of when we're all together with my parents. And they're having a blast. They all get to play together. You know, they're out of their element. So they're getting a whole new world. And yeah, went swimming. Stuff you would do on a long weekend, kind of like Memorial or Labor Day, which is why the Masters feels like that. So ending into the weekend, we got to Sunday, and that's when we played our final round of golf. And we played that at the National. The National is one of the older courses out at Reynolds, but not the oldest like the Reserve was. I shot a 101. I could not escape the putting. Once again, the putting threw me off, and I messed up a little bit, but I did get the putting under control. After I had a few three putts, and then I did get down to actually pretty solidly on the back. I had, I think, two or three holes that were only one putt, and at one towards the end of the front nine or the first nine, because we played 10 through 18, and then we played 1 through 9 that day. And yeah, but I did some weird stuff with my irons. Just could not trust my second shot. Eventually, though, I clubbed down. I just, when I'm having issues, doing the same thing over and over again, it's not going to help solve anything, at least not then. So you want to play it hole by hole. So, all right, I've got 260, 280 yards to go to get to the flag. Shoot two 140 shots instead of chili dipping into the woods or whatever, trying to get a 200 plus shot out and messing it up. So did that. I'm still rocking the 3-wood. I'm really liking that. My accuracy is just so much better. I know I got to get back on the horse with the driver and be prepared and ready to do that. I'm never going to get the distance I need to become a good golfer. And, you know, good is, of course, subjective. I would love to one day be a 10 handicapper. If I ever broke 10, I would consider myself a good golfer. Right now, I've got my goal of what I want to shoot at St. Andrews, which we'll see if that happens. But getting into the teens out of the 22 handicap right now, and I'm listed as a 22, but I feel like I'm really getting closer to that 20 because of the scores that I have been shooting. But I want to get down to, you know, mid to high teens sooner than later. It'd be nice to be able to be, you know, 15 handicap right around that, and then work towards 10. But I really like to get to 15 as soon as possible so I can just kind of live in that area and not feel like such a grind to get there. But there's a lot to work on. And that being said, I need to, as mentioned, get my driver. I need to get my driver working again the way I want it to and just have the confidence back in it. And I had it for several months last year. Every single time I was teeing off, you know, outside of par threes and what have you, I was using the driver. And I'll get it back. I just have not had time to set up the golf sim and really dive into it and look at some numbers. But I guess that's one thing we can take away from this is if you are trying to improve your golf game, I'm constantly thinking about it. Sure, I'm having some rounds that are just pure enjoyment, but I'm still like, okay, well, if I'm more confident in my 3-wood, what do I need to do to my driver to become more confident in it or more accurate in that? There's also layers to golf. As I'm getting further and further in, I'm learning more and more things. Like, I've never been fitted for clubs, ever. Now you talk to enough people and you hear enough people go, yeah, once I got a consistent swing down, which I feel like I do now 80% of the time, 85% of the time, you know, there's just bad luck. You just do stupid little things and that's always going to happen. But now I'm kind of considering possibly going and getting fitted. I've always played stock off the shelf or off the internet clubs. And sure, maybe I'd adjust it a little if there was the option, but it's never been at the forefront. And with a consistent swing, I'm hearing from more and more golfers that once they had a consistent swing, once they were comfortable with that, they would then start to dive into getting fitted, making sure the clubs fit them right, and saying how much it would help them and improve their games, their golf game. So diving into that more, I'm not being that guy who's trying to learn a million things on YouTube all at the same time. I'm really just trying to focus on my game while adding little bits as I go. I've got a couple of people I know who, you know, they watch the YouTube stuff and then they think, oh, that's what's wrong with me. And it's not to say it's not true. There's plenty of things I was doing that I'm sure are on a YouTube video and I would love to fix them with a 10-minute video and one day out of the range, but it's just not going to happen. So for me, going on almost not quite a year, 10 months of this journey, I have just been like, well, just focus on these few things with your swing so you can get those down. Now I'm feeling pretty good about those. So if I can start to get a little more distance, a little more accuracy out of some clubs with a fitting, and then that helps put me into the next tier. Maybe that's the 20 handicap to 16. And so you start to gain some confidence there with that. And yeah, and then also playing the course. I'm really trying to play the course backwards. I'm trying to look at the hole and go, all right, here's where my first drive's, here's where my tee box shot's going to be. What's the next thing? All right, that gives me two options. I'm not getting there on one more shot. So do I want to chip in 60 yards after my second shot? Or do I want to beat 100? What am I hitting better that day? I totally had days where I was like, I want to be 80 yards out, not 50, because I was hitting that distance into the green more accurately and feeling more confident with it. I can't tell y'all how much I enjoy doing these, the 100 or so, I think, right now, people who listen, which is kind of crazy to think about, but I really am enjoying these. It helps me remember the things I'm enjoying about the game and also the things that can make it be frustrating, like three putting and, well, shoot, like just this on Friday, I got on, had a par opportunity on a par five, which normally I'm, you know, two putting for bogey is what it feels like. But I was close. I had the ability to do it. Then you go and freaking three putt, and now you're walking away with double bogey. And you're just like, God damn it. So anyways, enjoying these. Hopefully y'all are too. Gonna keep doing them. Anyways, that was the fun Masters weekend. Of course, Sunday morning is when we played golf on Masters, and we went back and watched the Masters that afternoon. That's where we saw Scotty clinch it. And yeah, I look forward to next year's Masters and selling more Calamity Jane out there, playing more golf, and hopefully getting to go. But I've been a lot. So right now, it's kind of neat just watching, but just being in Augusta, kind of seeing it from that angle. Augusta in itself is a neat town, and I've got to know some people down there too through our distributors. And it's always good getting to see them and some of the people that work in the Augusta area too. So looking forward to Masters 2025. I am on my way to Florida while I record this, and I'm going to get to play Seminole Legacy Golf Course, which I hear is a top 10 in Florida, considering there's like 1,200 golf courses in Florida. I'm pretty psyched about it, so I'm sure I'll be talking about that next. I need to thank Steve with the North Florida PGA for setting that up for me, and congrats by the time this posts. I believe you'll be married because you're leaving soon to go get married and your honeymoon. So congrats on that. If you ever are listening to this, thanks for setting me up with the round. And also on that news, we are shipping our first rounds of beer to Florida for the North Florida Calamity Jane PGA branded beer. So pretty neat stuff going on, and look forward to sharing more about that with y'all as we go. But that is enough for now. Please like, follow, or subscribe, or share it. If you got a friend or fellow golfer who who may like this or maybe was at the Masters this year, be on the lookout for Calamity Jane. But as always, y'all, I'm Elliot Hall. Have a great day, y'all.